Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Mommy Oyoyo is a platform for the modern African woman to talk about anything and everything related to motherhood in today's world. Join me, Berry Dakara, every week as we tackle the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and everything else in between. Mommy Oyoyo is your plug for real life gist and experiences about being a mother, African style. Hi everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. This is your hostess, Berry Dakara, and this is episode 55. Before we get to the episode, just a couple of things that I want to share, I guess. After everything that has happened in the last 2 weeks in Nigeria, I feel like the majority of us young Nigerians are in a state of shock, confusion, and we're shocked, we're confused, and it's, I think the question that most everyone is asking is, okay, so what next? What do we do now? How do we move on? How do we pick up the pieces of everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks and move forward? And right now, it's just not very, very clear. I think the general consensus is, okay, at this point, we all just kind of need to really educate ourselves on Nigerian politics, not just at the presidential level, not just at the governor level, but local politics and, you know, like, get down to the community level, like grassroots and everything. I think that's what the majority is saying. So that when it's time to vote in the next 3 years, almost about 2.5 years, we would have already started laying the foundation. We'd already laid the foundation, rather. We would have made inroads, made headway with the local communities within Nigeria, so that there is real change. There are some people that are a little bit pessimistic because they feel like, well, we're Nigerians, we forget things easily. Like, we forget like the atrocities. We just kind of move forward and forget things that happened. But then there are those who are also saying, just, we may have lost this battle right now, but there's still a war to be won. Not saying that there should be a war. Nobody is looking for civil war. Nobody's looking for any more casualties, no more deaths, no more looting, no more violence. Nobody's looking for any of that. But there needs to be real change in Nigeria. And everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks, it was just a few people that collectively came together and created different systems. I mean, there were medical emergency services provided. There were legal services provided. There was food provided. Mental health lines provided. There are all these little things here and there that people were able to do by themselves or in conjunction with each other that the government has not been providing. So it's just really clear that it's possible to do these things. It is possible. It's just that I think we all just need to regroup and really re-strategize for the future of Nigeria. And I'm really just hoping that in my lifetime, before my child is an adult, Nigeria will realize the potential that it has. I think we all love Nigeria. All those of us who are Nigerian, we love Nigeria, and we really just want to see better. So that's all I'm going to say now about Nigeria. Something else I wanted to share. I didn't talk about it here I posted it on my blog though, that the last couple, I think 2 weeks ago or so, I was featured on two different podcasts. One of them was Vera's podcast. I am an African, and I talked to her. Well, we talked about sex during slash after divorce, and we've gotten so much great feedback. People are just like once they start listening, oh my God, Barry, Vera, you guys are mad. People are just hilarious, and just anyone who's listened has only had positive things to say. So I would say you guys should go check it out. I believe it's episode 20 on her podcast, and I'll leave a link in the show notes. Yeah, it was just a really fun episode, very light, and we just talked about life as divorcees, you know, and I think you're gonna enjoy it. And then the other podcast that I was on, it's called She Speaks Bougie, and that podcast is run by my friend Tennille Clark, and she wanted me to talk about being free as an adult with my parents. The title of the episode is really Freedom to Come Back Home, where I talked about, or I shared what things have been like since moving back into my parents' house as an adult and still being free as an adult. And I just want to share a message that she sent to me this past Tuesday. She said, "Hey, Boo, I have to tell you that you're awesome." And I looked at the analytics for the Freedom to Come Back Home episode. It turns out that the episode is the number one most listened to episode on my podcast from both seasons. Thank you for being so open and willing to share your life with me. And I even had folks in Nigeria tuning in. So I want to say thank you to my people who went to listen to my episode on her podcast. And just, I'm really floored and I'm humbled that people have been interested in me, interested in my voice, interested in my story. And I'm just really thankful. My last episode, episode 54, where I talked about being a single mom, has surpassed all the other episodes as far as listens and downloads. Yes, even Vera's episode on my podcast, I think that was episode 31, where she talked about being a divorced African mom. Her episode was number one up until, I believe, last week. Yeah, I think up until last week or so. But now my episode where I talked about being a single mom has surpassed her episode. So Vera, ha 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 ha. But I just want to say thank you guys for listening to this podcast, for taking an interest in motherhood from, you know, an African standpoint. And at this point, I do have to tell you guys that we reached over 10,000 followers. I mean, our followers, amen. Oh, but we reached over 10,000 listens last week. Unfortunately, because of everything that was happening in Nigeria, I just didn't feel right about celebrating. I didn't feel like it was a good time to talk about it, to be, you know, sharing accomplishments when I felt like my entire country was suffering. But, and it's not to say that the country is better now, like, nothing much has changed. But I think now we just kind of have a collective gasp, like we can now come up for air, and it's like, okay, right, let's start picking up the pieces. And so I just want to thank everyone who has listened to this podcast in the past year and a half. The 10,000 listens, you guys are amazing, and I love every single one of you. And I think that's it on housekeeping. In this episode, I speak with Victoria Downs, who I've known for, I want to say, like 20, 21 years maybe. We went to college together, and she talks about balancing motherhood and business without the mom guilt. And I think that that's something that a lot of us moms, you don't necessarily have to be a businesswoman, but if you are career focused, there are times that you will have mom guilt, where you feel bad about skipping, your child's PTA, like parent teacher meeting, because you have a meeting, or you have to leave town for a few days or a week or something. And Victoria has done it all. She's had businesses. Actually, she's a serial entrepreneur, and she's also worked for people as well. And I believe that you're going to enjoy the conversation that I have with her. So, without further ado, let's listen in on our conversation, and I will talk to you guys next time. Hi, Victoria.
Hey,
how are you?
I am amazing. How are you?
I am doing all right. Not too well, but all right. I will recuperate. Well, I'm recuperating, but
Yeah.
hey, here we are. How's
Beautiful.
everything been?
Everything's been wonderful. I have a few complaints, but on the grand scheme of things, everything has been great.
Thank God. I think, yeah, most people have some complaints, but you do the best you can and keep it moving.
Yeah.
For everyone who's listening, Victoria and I go a long way back, like 20 years or so. Maybe more than 20.
I
Like
think so.
20, 22, 22, yeah, about.
I started 2000, 1999. Yeah, no, wait.
21 years then.
Just about. Just about. Just about. Yeah.
Yeah, 21 years. So let's get started on our conversation. But before we do, I would like for Victoria to introduce herself. Tell us a little bit about you, what you do, your career, all the 5,000 million things you are doing on the side with the coaching and the painting. Well, the painting is on hold for now, kind of. Maybe we'll come back. Plus your three children. Guys, she has a 17-year-old, and is it 13-year-old?
13,
13 and a 2-year-old.
yep.
Plus her businesses, plus work. Girl, just tell us about you.
Well, thank you, Anita. Like Anita said, my name is Victoria Downs, and I am a certified business productivity coach. I'm also the founder of the Village Creative, where we help women of color entrepreneurs level up their businesses. My mission in life really is to help women of color have access to resources, avoid pitfalls in their business, and build sustainable businesses. So that's who I am, and that's what I do. Yeah, I have three children. like Anita said, I have a 17-year-old son, a 13-year-old daughter, and a 2-year-old son. And in addition to my coaching business, I also run a VA agency that supports the coaching practice. And I also own a cleaning company called the Broom Squad here in Boston. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I have a cleaning company on the side. Yeah. So I am what you call a serial entrepreneur. Like I've had my own businesses for my first business was in 2007. And I've been in business in some capacity since then. So for about 13, what am I saying? Yeah, 13 years. Actually, no, it was 2006. So yeah, 14 years. But it's part of my lifeline. My mother was an entrepreneur, and that's who I saw growing up. So I'm always of the mindset that you should have your own thing. It's nice to clock in and clock out and have a steady check. And I'm saying steady in air quotes, because if they decide to let you go tomorrow, your steadiness is gone, right?
Right.
So you should always have your own thing. If you have the ability and the ability, if you have the ability to build a business, you should.
Okay. Fair enough. I like that. I like that.
Ooh, and just one thing. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I have a podcast.
She does.
I have a podcast. It's called The Village Talk, and we highlight women of color who are doing dope things in their little corners of the world and the village that supports them. So yeah, I think that's everything I do, I think.
Well, if you remember any of the other things you're doing or used to do,
We'll be happy to hear all of that. Now, you've just mentioned, the different things that you're doing. You have your cleaning business, you have your coaching program, you have the VA program that you're using to support your coaching program, you're a wife, you're a mom.
I am.
You're doing all of these things. Can you kind of walk us through what a typical day is like for you, managing all of these different parts of your life? And if you have help, please tell us what kind of help you have, because there's this thing where a lot of women on social media are like, oh yeah, I'm super mom and I'm super business woman, I'm a super career woman, and I'm doing it all by myself. And it's like, are you really? Are you really?
That's not possible. That's not, there's no super mom on earth who does not have help. If they tell you they don't have help, they're lying. Because I feel like to raise a child, even if you didn't have all of the other things, all of the things that's laid on you as a woman, you didn't have the husband to take care of, or the additional kids, or your family members, and then your job, and then your business, or whatever else, there's still a lot that's involved in raising a child. And the adage that says it takes a village to raise a child, like the village raises the child. I mean, some people may not have parents, but you have some sort of support. If you go to work and you put your kid in daycare, that's your help. So we all have some kind of help. Now, I don't consider myself supermom. I'm a mom. I'm a mama who just has a ton of help. And when I say a ton of help, like I have, some help that comes with my family and my husband. I have a really supportive partner who has let me do literally anything I want to do. Like from the day I started my first business, like he would help me package shea butter. You know what I mean? So to have that kind of support has been wonderful. But as I've grown up and matured and ventured into other businesses, I have sought out external help. So I have somebody who comes and cleans my house every other week. I have a cleaning company. So that for me is
Right.
a, but that's part of the help, I'm like, oh, the VA agency, right? They don't just support my clients in my coaching business, they support me as well. So I have an admin that helps me. Like I just got off the meeting with my admin. I meet with her every morning to make sure that everything that we're supposed to do, our to-do list are together and we're meeting our deadlines and things. So like you get help where you can. Sometimes you have to pay for help, sometimes you have to ask a family member, but I feel like when women are just flexing on the gram and, I'm super mom and I take care of my three kids by yourself, tell the truth. Your mama watched your kids last weekend. You know what I mean? Like, and that's help. So acknowledging that we all get some kind of help to make it real for people who are watching and looking in, and it's okay to ask for that kind of help because we sometimes think that it makes us look weak when we don't ask for help. And for women who are out there flexing, saying that, I do everything by myself, you're almost telling them that they have to do everything by themselves too, just because you can. Like, if I can, you can too. Like, that's not how this works. And like I said, the village raises the kids. So wherever you get your help, get it. Whoever you can ask for it, ask. And it just makes you a better person. It makes you a better mom, you know?
I agree, because you can't do everything by yourself. You cannot, if you stretch yourself so thin because you're trying to do 5 million things, you really will not be giving the best of yourself to your children or to your partner or to yourself, anyways. So get help where you can find it. Ask for help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help because you're not weak, you're just a human being. But yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. So, like, what's a typical day like for you from when you wake up to when you sleep? Are you getting enough sleep?
Ah, well, that part. What is sleep? Who needs sleep?
We all need sleep, but please.
Yeah, so a typical day for me, and let me start with like, I'm so sorry about
No
that.
problem. Go ahead.
A typical day for me, I want to start with, like COVID has really changed how our days, I mean, it's changed everything for all of us, right? Prior to COVID, so before COVID, what I didn't say in the introduction was I used to work for Elizabeth Warren as the HR manager for her campaign.
Ooh,
And
fancy, fancy.
Yes, ma'am. America wasn't ready for Elizabeth, though, but that's a whole nother podcast. But so in order to, like, I had a really busy job, you know, so we'd be out of the house by 5:30 because I had to get the baby to daycare. I had to get my older two to the bus stop so they can catch the bus to go to school. And then I had to be at work, you know, by 8:30, 9 o'clock to start my day. And then we wouldn't, I leave the office around 5, pick up the baby, pick up my older two, come home, dinner, bedtime, go to bed, wake up the next day, do it again. That was our routine for as long as I could remember it. And even prior to Elizabeth Warren, that was just the cycle of things. Like you get up, you the hustle and bustle, we all do it, or we all did it. And then when COVID hit, I had to kind of sit my tail down. There was nowhere to go. Like I was working from home and then my campaign ended and I was pushed into full-time entrepreneurship. I had a chance to kind of manage my own schedule. And what I realized was the rush of the morning wasn't actually a good thing. Like I preferred, you know, getting a couple extra minutes of sleep every morning and cuddling with my kid, like my baby. Every morning he hops in the bed. Like those are the things that I wasn't able to do prior to COVID. Mm. So thankful for the gifts that in a backwards way that COVID has kind of given me. But a typical day for me now, because my kid is now, my baby is back in daycare, so I can work. He has to be in daycare between 8:30 and 9. So we're up around 7, out of the house around 8-ish. My older two are remote learning, so they kind of do their own thing at home. But I get the baby up to daycare, come back home, and then I settle in. So I meet with my admin every morning. Because I want to make sure that our tasks and our to-do list are together. And then I set about, if I have coaching calls or discovery calls or just check-in meetings, I typically work till about 3:34. But like when I say work, I'm able to like chunk my time and take breaks. So like when it was nice in Boston, I'd get up, I'd go outside, make sure I went for a walk, I'd have lunch. And being able to manage my own schedule has been such a blessing because now I'm able to incorporate moments in the day just for me. Like mm-hmm. I'll go sit on my deck and listen to the birds for like 15 minutes. Some days I find myself like dozing off because it's so peaceful. And that's what I didn't have that prior to, you know, working for myself and being at home. So my typical day now is kind of eased into this routine of flow. Like whatever we have on the calendar, cool, we'll attend to it. But throughout the day, we're going to think about Victoria. We're going to prioritize Victoria. And especially since my two-year-old is not home, he's at daycare, I'm able to like have me time as opposed to somebody tagging on my leg. And then our evening routine kind of remain the same where we'll, I'll pick him up from daycare, come home, we'll have dinner, we'll do the bedtime routine. And then some days I go back to work if I have like projects that are due or if I have client work that needs to get done. And I'm running a coaching circle that runs late and also I didn't mention this. I'm also a mentor business coach for a business bootcamp. Sorry, I didn't mention it in my introduction. So I teach a class every Wednesday from 7 to 10. So I have some late nights, but I'm able to like work around my schedule to make sure that my kids have my attention. And when I have some free time, I'm able to pay attention to Victoria.
Awesome. I love that. I love that you are prioritizing yourself, even with all of the different hats that you have to wear as an entrepreneur, as a mom, as a coach. You're still making sure that you're taking time, whether it's 15 minutes to listen to the birds, mm-hmm. you're taking the time to take care of yourself. And that's very important. And I feel like a lot of moms, and I think even, I don't want to say African women, I don't know. When we become mothers, it's almost like we're expected to be like our whole entire lives should be about our children, mm-hmm. and catering to them, catering to our husbands, and not really taking care of yourself. So I'm really glad that you take the time, and it doesn't have to be such a long time. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, 5 minutes there.
Yeah.
It adds up, but it's very, very necessary for your own mental health.
Yeah, for sure.
So I love that. Thank you very much. So we're here today to talk about mom guilt and like balancing business and the guilt that can come from it. But before we get to that specific kind of mom guilt, I've talked about mom guilt generally on the podcast before, and I wanted to know, what kind of mom guilt have you had to deal with? Like, what different aspects of guilt have you had to experience? Have you experienced, if you have at all, since you became a mom?
I think it's multi-layered, the kinds of guilt, or not so much multi-layered, like it changes. So at different stages in your life and your situations contribute to the kind of guilt that you're feeling. When my older two kids were much younger, I mentioned my first business. I started my first business before my second child was born. And within 2 years of starting that business, like, we were in stores across the country. So one of the things I had to do was do trade shows. Like, I would travel 2 to 3 weekends out of the week, and sometimes during 2 to 3 weekends out of the month, and would sometimes have to travel during the week as well. So depending on the village, to help me take care of my kids, my husband, family members and such. And the mom guilt at that time was that I was away from my children. You know, like, I had this baby, I had this little baby growing up, and then I had my 4-year-old at the time. And then when my third kid was born, I think he was about 3 or 4 months, I started to feel mom guilt around the space that we lived in. Like, we were in a condo, really tight. I mean, it wasn't really tight. It suited us fine till all the baby stuff came. Mm-hmm. And I started to think about, he's not going to have enough space to crawl. I have to buy a bigger house. I don't have the resources to buy it right now. So I started to feel really guilty about that. You know, and I'm sharing the different scenarios with you, because I feel it's important to acknowledge that depending on the stage of life that you're in or what you're going through, your mom guilt will be different. But it all manifests as you're not doing enough for them, or you're doing something that's taken away from them. When in actuality, what you're doing is developing yourself. What you're doing is doing the best that you can. What you're doing is leaving your heart on the table every day. You go to work, you clock in, you clock out. Then you come home and you clock into your other job or your business, whatever it is, you're doing everything you can to provide for the people who you're responsible for, but in your eyes, it's not enough. And then you're looking at them and they're fine. Yeah. You know, the folks, the children that you're feeling guilty about not providing enough for, not doing enough for, they're perfectly happy. And I'm thankful, and the village is really important to me, because the village is the reason I'm still here. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the village really stepped in when I had to travel. The village stepped in when I had to go out of the country. The village, you know, like, the village has really been there. So as long as, one, you're doing everything you can to support and provide and honor honor the mission that you're on. Like, God didn't just give us these children. Like, the children chose us. And like, there was a pairing that happened before they manifested. Mm-hmm. So we're responsible for them. As long as you're honoring them and honoring their existence and honoring yourself and doing everything you can to honor the mission, I think we as women need to be at peace with, we're doing everything that we can. For me recently, mom guilt is manifested in, and I'm doing a lot better with it these days, but like, when COVID first started, so I mentioned earlier the hustle and bustle. We'd be out of the house by 5:30. We come home, like, we're just moving. So you're not thinking about, I haven't seen my kids for 12 hours, right? Cause you're like, I'm working, I'm out of the house. They're doing their own thing. But when COVID hit and I had to work from home, we're all in the same space. So my 2-year-old would look for me. Right? I'd be on calls and he'd be screaming his head off, yelling for me, even though there's 4 other people with him. I remember one time, and this is like the day I really felt it hard. I remember breaking down and crying this day. So my office is in my basement, and there's a stair that comes into the basement. There's, you know, under the stairs is like an open space. I don't know what you call it. And he knew I was in the basement because he knows when he can't find me anywhere else in the house, I'm in the basement. And usually the basement door is locked, but I didn't lock it. So he came down into the basement and I had to hide in the stairwell.
Oh, wow.
Because if he had seen me, my whole day would have been mommy, mommy, mommy. So he came down, he looked, mommy, mommy. He didn't see me. He went back upstairs. And I remember just breaking down and crying. because I felt so guilty that I was hiding from my kid. And then I had to come to the realization that I'm hiding because I want to get things done. Not that I don't love him or not that I don't want to be with him, but it's difficult to do what I need to do. And mothers out there know it. Like, yes, you want your kid with you. Your kid wants to be with you, but it's hard to do some things when your kid is with you and demanding your attention.
Yeah.
And I had to be at peace with that. I had to go back to why I'm doing everything that I'm doing in the first place, right? My why is them. They are my why. I'm doing all of this because I want them to have a better future, a better life than I had. I want them to have access to things that I didn't have. I don't want them to struggle. Do you know what I mean? So I'm doing this for them. And if I have to take a couple of hours to get this done, and then I can go upstairs and give them undivided attention for an hour, then that's what needs to happen. So I'm a bit more at peace with it now than I was, let's say, 5 months ago. But I'm not going to lie to you. As soon as daycare said they were opening up, I was like, what time? There, okay? So now I feel a lot better about it because I know why I'm doing this and they are the reason why.
Yeah. It's
the same as me going outside of the house to work, but it was so much more in my face because he was here. You know what I mean? So coming to peace with where you are and also going back to why are you feeling this mom guilt? Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing everything that you can do? If you're honoring yourself, honoring your children, honoring the mission that God has put us on, then you should be at peace because this is all you can do.
I definitely agree with that. I remember, listen, when it came time to that my daughter's daycare opened back up, I didn't waste time. They said they're opening up. I think it was the end of June.
Yeah.
I was going to travel 2 weeks later. So I said, just give us time to go on our vacation. But as soon as we come back, she's going back.
Yeah. Because
I worked from home with her in a customer service role between March and July. And you can imagine me being on the phone with a customer. And my child is next to me. Mom! Yeah. I'm like, madam, can you not say I'm working? But they don't get that.
Not care.
They do not get that.
And it's not a priority for them.
My mom is in front of me. Why is my mommy not giving me attention?
It's not their job. Like, that's not her job. Her job is to be three. Her job is to watch her iPad. Her job is to talk to the Paw Patrol people. Her job is to eat her snacks. And if none of those needs are met, mommy, deal with it.
Exactly.
The priorities are different. Same with my kid. You know, like I'll be on coaching calls and he'll just hop on the couch behind me. And now I've just learned to tell people, hey, you may see my son's beautiful face and you may hear the sweet sounds of him playing, but it's just the reality. And I just have to give people the disclaimer, but I also own my own business. So I know I have that luxury and that opportunity. If people, not everyone has the same, but like just being okay with, yo, like I'm doing the best that I can.
You know what? While I was on a few calls with my daughter screaming in the background, the customers who I was talking to or the business owners who I was talking to at the time, they totally understood because these are unprecedented times.
Yeah.
Right. They understood that everybody is working from home. So just like, oh no, don't worry about it. You know, like just go take care of her. Whether it's 1 minute you need, no problem. Like I'll be right here. So I felt fine about that. But yeah, I did have some times where I just felt really guilty because there she was crying because she wanted me to come attend to her. Mm. But I needed to be on the phone working. So how did you deal, like especially when you were traveling for work, how did you deal with, how did you overcome that guilt of knowing I need to do this work because of my children? I'm trying to provide for my children, I'm trying to provide a better life for them, or I'm trying to
advance myself, my advance my career and all of that. I'm trying to do all that. How did you overcome those times? Yeah. And even now?
I mean, we're not doing that much traveling right now, but hopefully soon. I think in the moment, so like I said, it evolved, right? And your maturity evolves as well. So I'd say like 13, 14 years ago when I was traveling for my business, I'd feel bad, right? I'd feel really bad. So I'd go to, didn't matter where I was, I'd make sure I find some kind of gift shop. And if I didn't, the airport was getting all my money because I wanted to make sure that I came back with something because I felt really bad. So I would like overcompensate for my absence. But I think as I got older and I moved into roles that required me to travel, or even when I traveled for my personal businesses, it became easier because I realized the importance of the village and they were okay. Like on a regular day without me going anywhere, my kids are asking me to go to their grandparents. So for them, it was like a vacation. But me, I'm feeling guilty because I'm thinking, oh, I'm leaving my kids and oh, my kids are like, bye. Like they don't even say bye. I'm waving, like hugging. They're like, can you go? You know, so it got better as we all kind of like got matured a little bit. But initially, like the guilt was so real. Like I would call them and we have FaceTime back then? I don't remember. But like I would call them incessantly and, you know, I'd be checking, calling my in-laws, like, what are they doing? And my mother-in-law one time, my mother-in-law took my kids to Barbados one time and I called her literally every hour. And she was like, Victoria, you know, I've raised 5 kids before you, but before grandchildren. And then like, there are a few older, like, I got this. Go do you. And you know, I think sometimes you need the village to tell you to go and sit yourself someplace, please, because you think this is our first, come on. Like we raised you, like go sit somewhere, mm-hmm. You know? So as we got older, as we matured, and especially for me, because the mom guilt was really with me, not them. I realized that one, they're okay. And I'm doing this for them. So, and I think that's how I've been able to get to this point of, I gotta do what I gotta do. And they're fine.
Thank you. What would you say to the woman who is trying to balance motherhood and a business or a career? Like if she, for instance, is having to miss her daughter's ballet class. Like for instance, I can tell you now, my daughter started swim classes this month.
Mm-hmm.
And this month I'm working weekends, so I have not gone to one of her classes. And I want to actually ask my boss, like, please, can I start work 30 minutes late just so I can go to my child's class? But, you know, I had to remember, like, her dad can take her to the class. Next month, I'm not working weekends, so I can take her then and not miss any of those classes then. If I start work later on weekends, it means that I only get 30 minutes for lunch. And at that point, I'm going to be rushing her to eat her lunch in 30 minutes or like 20 minutes. And it's just not going to be a good experience all around, you know? So to the woman who is having to miss some extracurricular activities, or, you know, she feels bad that she's not spending as much time as she would have preferred with her children during the daytime because she's working.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that woman?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I like your approach of I'm considering my different options, right? And not just considering the options, but also thinking about, if I do this, this will happen. Like, this is the outcome. And if I do that, that's the outcome. And then weighing those different outcomes to see which one, you know, fits in your best interest and for your daughter. For the woman who's trying to balance, you know, work, business, being a mother, if your schedule is something that you control, obviously the obvious solution or the option is to build your schedule around their activities, or if you can build their activities around your schedule, like looking at both of it both ways. But if it's, you know, you have to go to a job, you have to clock in, you have to make money, you have to take care of your family, and that's part of honoring that mission that we're on, then you look at your options externally, like who else can help me? That's where your village comes in. And if you don't, and I understand and acknowledge that not everybody comes with the village. Like some people are just literally only children and feels like they were just put in the middle of the earth by themselves. But as you grow into who you are and you start to raise a family, it's important to have a tribe. It's important to have a village. And your village doesn't have to be blood related. Your village can be your friends, people you went to school with. Your village could be a babysitter. Your village could be the daycare that your kid goes to. But seeking out your village and, you know, setting an intention, if you don't have one, that you want a village, and people who interests align with yours and yours align with theirs, like making sure that everybody's on the same, is on the same vibe. So like, if you don't have the option to work the schedules, then you look externally to your village, who else can help you? You may have to pay for it if there's nobody available, but always considering those different options. It's definitely possible. It's difficult. And you may feel like crap sometimes because you're not present and you feel like you're missing out. You are missing out, but again, going back to, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. You know, why am I doing this? And I, when I work with my clients, and this can, this is something that everyone should do, not just that they could do, is identify what your values are. If your values are money, family, time, or think of like the order. If your value is family, then you need to make sure that everything you do revolves around that. If your values are money, then figure it out. Do you know what I mean? But figuring out what your values are, and also like why you're doing what you're doing. And those two will help you. It'll help a lot to inform the decisions that you make, or the options that you pick to take care of, to honor you, to continue to honor your mission.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, the way my schedule is now, like, I don't have a business. I'm working. I mean, some people might consider this podcast to be a business coming up eventually.
It's a business. Put it into the universe. Let go and hear your prayers. It's a business.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, okay, apart from this business, uh-huh. My 9 to 5 is really a 2 to 11. Mm-hmm. I start work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I get off at 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. at night. And I remember when I first started this schedule, I was just really, really upset. I'm like, how am I going to manage when my daughter comes back from school? Mm-hmm. I need time to be with her and to put her to bed and everything. But like you said, I had to make it work. I had to find ways to make it work. Mm-hmm. So in the mornings, just like you mentioned, you take extra time to cuddle with your son.
Yeah.
I love cuddling with Coco. Like, she'll wake up, she comes to my room, "Mommy, I love you so much. I just love to cuddle with you." So we'll cuddle in bed, sometimes 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of love on each other and, you know, enjoy spending time with each other. And I've worked my evenings in such a way that I take my lunch break, mm-hmm. when it's time for her dinner and get her ready for bedtime. Mm-hmm. So there are ways that you can kind of manage your time. You know, there are ways that you can deal with. You can try and make it a little bit flexible to suit
you. Yeah, as much as you can, right? That's that whole working your schedule around theirs or working theirs around yours. You find moments. So, this is like it's a high level scheduling hack, as in when you're looking at the schedules, you literally have to look at it minute by minute, hour by hour. This is what I have to do. This is what she has to, or this is her day. This is my day. Where can we align? Like, where can we fit? Where can we steal minutes together? So for me now with my kid, I mean, before daycare reopened, we'd lay in bed and it'd be on his iPad, I'd be on my computer because he had to be with me, right? But now that he goes to daycare, I take those extra minutes because I know I'm not going to see him again for like the next 6 hours. So I'll take an extra minutes with him. And then when he comes home, I don't schedule anything from the moment I pick him up by 5:30. I'm sorry, I pick him up by 5. So but from the moment he gets in the car, I may be taking discovery calls up until I get to that daycare. But as soon as he gets in the car, it's me and him. And sometimes like I'll go grocery shopping after I pick him up because that's another time for us to like play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you figure out, you'll look at your day and see where you can find time for you, your family, your husband. You can do this with your family. You can do this with your husband, whomever it is. But making time and not feeling guilty about the times that you're not around because, again, you're honoring your mission.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Thank you so much. I love that. Thank you for sharing all of this with me. I feel like I want to have you again on the podcast, though, to talk about because you have children of varying ages and mm-hmm. it's a wide range. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I want to have you again to talk about how you show love and attention to children in different stages. So like for now, the only experience I have is with the toddler, mm-hmm. right? But I know that there are women who listen to the podcast that have teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I would also like for them to, you know, to hear from other women who have teenagers as well. So if you don't mind.
Oh, no, Anita. I'm here. I'll always make time for you.
Yay. So, okay, but before we get to that time, it'll be a future episode. Okay. Could you just tell us where we can find you online, how we can sign up for any services that you offer and all of that good stuff?
Awesome. So if you want to find me, just go to Instagram. My business is called The Village Creative, Inc., INC. So The Village Creative, INC. So you can definitely find us on Instagram or you can find us on Facebook or you can go to the website, www.thevillagecreativeinc.com. That's the easiest way to plug into me because I have so many different things. But if you go to The Village Creative, you'll be able to see the different things that I'm doing and where I am. I will say though that I have a few programs happening right now. So if any of your listeners are, have thought about working with a business coach or they've thought about it and are ready or still on the fence, definitely hop on over to The Village Creative and hop in my DMs. Let's have a conversation because my joy and my passion and my mission in life is to help women who look like me gain resources, gain access to resources to build their businesses, to build their empires. We're not just building businesses. We're breaking generational curses and creating generational wealth. So holler at me.
Amen to that. Thank you again for being on the podcast. I appreciated our conversation and your time and lots of love. Everyone, you guys make sure you check out her website. Listen to her podcast as well. Make sure
The Village Talk podcast. I forgot about that. But again, if you go to The Village Creative Inc., you'll be able to see all the different things that I'm doing. But yeah, I have an episode that came out today. So, this episode is not going to come out today. Anyway, hop on over to the Village Talk podcast and you'll be able to see what we're doing there. And I have some really exciting programming coming up for that platform as well.
Awesomeness. All of the links and Instagram handles, all of that's going to be in the show notes anyways. So Mommy Oyo audience, please make sure you go show Victoria some love. And if you do have a business, you're considering business coaching, I would love for you to also consider Miss Victoria. All right. Well, thank you again so much for being on the podcast. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. And we will definitely see you back again on Mommy Oyo Yo to talk about different levels. Can we love our children equally? Or is there a favorite?
One of your favorites today.
Oh, you're my favorite today. Thank you, Victoria.
Absolutely, Anita. This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mommy Oyo Yo podcast. Out of everything you could be doing, you chose to spend the time with me, and I am truly grateful. Please follow us on social media at Mommy Oyoyo, which is MommyOyoyo. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to send us feedback and suggestions that way or via our email at mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast on your favorite podcast players. Rate and review the podcast. And finally, don't keep this goodness to yourself. Share the Mommy Oyoyo podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and more. The Mommy Oyoyo podcast, sharing experiences of African motherhood. Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo. See you next time.